Today we're on the tail end of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be reading from Ecclesiastes 11. You can find that on your pew Bibles. I think most of them are keyed into the same page, around 1048. As you're turning to that, I was just thinking, reflecting, Ecclesiastes has sort of been the theme of my life these several weeks and months. And I think of, some of the joys that we've experienced today. The baptism of Teddy, of course, wonderful to anticipate. A few weeks ago, Mia was born. At 7:44 this morning, I became a grandpa again for the fourth time to baby Milo. So thanking God for the joy of the birth of a new one, and mom and baby are doing well. But I also think of the deaths that we've had experienced, not only here, but people I know, extended family. I think of Gary and Jerry and Christopher and Dale Large's mom, and also the brother-in-law, Ken, to several of you. The death happens. We experienced a wedding, a beautiful, wonderful wedding, a couple uniting in Christ Jesus. Graduations, Ellen, Gracie, Elmer, others have graduated, and there's going to be some eighth graders that are graduating this weekend. We celebrate that. How wonderful that is. And we think of that, like all the joys, all the sorrows and stresses that we face in life. And here comes the creator, the teacher of Ecclesiastes, reminding us to remember your creator while you were young. As I was thinking of this theme for this, I just remember your creator, little one, and because when you're young, this is the time to learn more, as much as you possibly can, about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Here's how the teacher in Ecclesiastes articulates it. Light is sweet. We're starting at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years you may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything is completely meaningless. It's a vapor. It's just a smoke that you can't grab onto. Nothing lasts. But you who are young, be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that in all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are a vapor, meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keeper of the house tremble and strong men stoop, when grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights, of dangers in the street, when the almond trees blossom and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered, at the spring and at the wheel, broken at the well. and the dust returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit returns to God who gives it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you a little parable. I've shared it before in a funeral context of all places, but it's about a little girl on a beach. You can imagine this picture, a little girl on her knees, and she's scooping up with her shovel and bucket all the sand that she can fit in there, and she puts it in a bright red bucket, and then she upends the bucket, turns it upside down, pulls the bucket up and lifts it, and to her delight, this little architect sees a castle tower is created. All day, she will work, spooning out the moat, packing the walls. Bottle tops will be the guards that line the wall. Sticks will be bridges. And finally, all her hard work will produce a sandcastle unlike any that has ever been produced before. Hold that scene in your head. Now, in your mind's eye, go to a businessman in his office. At his desk, he shuffles papers into stacks. He delegates assignments to just the right people. He cradles the phone on his shoulder and punches the keyboard with his fingers. Numbers are crunched and arranged, contracts are signed, and much to his delight, a profit is made. All of his life, he will work hard, formulate plans, forecasting the future. Annuities will be the guards on his castle wall. Capital gains will be bridges. An empire will be built. He is living his best life. Two builders, two castles are created. They have so much in common. They both take something small and shape it into something grand. They see nothing and make something out of it. They are both diligent and determined to build their world. They both find joy and satisfaction in what they do. And for both, a tide will rise. It's coming. The end will be there, and that is where their similarities cease. The girl sees the end of her castle and is attentive to the rhythm of the ocean. She observes the sun beginning to set, the tide rising, and each wave slaps an inch closer to her creation. But the girl does not panic. She's not surprised. Instead, she jumps to her feet and claps as the waves begin to wash away her masterpiece. There's no joy, there's no sorrow, no fear, no regret. She's not surprised at all by this. She knew this would happen, and she understands that it would be just a matter of time before that last wave comes and her creation is dragged back out into the ocean. And when that final wave crashes, she smiles, she takes her father's hand, and goes home. The businessman in his sophisticated office is not so wise. He doesn't acknowledge the rising tide. He should have known. He, like the girl, lives surrounded by rhythmic reminders. Days come and go, seasons ebb and flow. Time will take your castle. Each sunrise and sunset whispers the same truth. As the wave of years begin to encroach on his castle, he's terrified. He hovers over his sandy monument. He wants to protect it. He tries in vain to block the waves with the protective walls that he has erected around it. He snarls at the incoming tide. It's my castle! The ocean need not respond. Both know to whom the sand belongs. In the fullness of time, his tiny towers of triumph crumble and disperse, and he is left on his knees, clutching a handful of nothing, just muddy nothing. If only he had known, if only he had submitted to the inevitable years ago. If only, but like so many others, he heard the call, he was reminded day in and day out. From the earliest moment of his childhood, the voice of wisdom was crying out, "Listen to me, I have something to say to you." Things come and go. Nothing is permanent. Nothing lasts forever. Sooner or later, the tide will rise and take away your creation back to the sea. Brothers and sisters, as you hear this story, does this story make you sad? Or is there something contained in this parable that delights your heart? It's the message of Ecclesiastes as well. Live your lives with the end in mind. That's not a morbid and foreboding thought. That's a realistic look, an opportunity to see what is truly true. We need to embrace it. Each moment we must be shaped by an ultimate truth. Life is not what happens under the sun, here and now, in these few moments that we have. The certainty of death is a rhythmic reminder of how we are to live life now. Ecclesiastes 1:4, if you go way back to the beginning of our study, it opens with a poem about the circle of life. Remember, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises from. The wind blows from the north to the south. The rivers keep flowing endlessly into the sea. What has been will be again under the sun. Everything is here for a moment and then gone. Now, all of us intuitively somehow, as these stories are told, we imagine that we're like that little girl, that we do the very best we can, that we enjoy every moment we're in, and when the end comes, we're still just as happy as can be. Well, time will tell if we're like that little girl. A few years ago, I was at a gathering of pastors, and it occurred to me as I looked around that I'm one of the older ones here. There's not that accompanying wisdom that I had hoped for. What could I offer to this conversation? But I'm suddenly realizing that I'm an older pastor now. I don't know when that happened, the sands of time. Remember Days of Our Lives, those of you who used to watch that? Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our life. Well, we're nearing the end of the book, and we said, young people will eventually become old and return to where they have come from. I love the quote, and David Gibson had this in his book, Living Life Backwards, kind of a commentary on Ecclesiastes. He said, "Inside every old person is a young person whispering, 'What happened? Where did it go?' Those sandcastles that we are building, whatever they may be, they're not going to last, and that's okay." That's the message here. In the words of our teacher, what do we do? Number one, rejoice. Find occasion for joy in every day, in every breath. And I know you can't always be perpetually happy. That's not what we're aiming for here. But to rejoice while you are young. It's no shame being young. He's not criticizing you for living life. I love the enthusiasm of young people, just being able to play. I'm the best baseball player in the world, and you know it. And okay, you know, we say, well, that's arrogance. No, they're just loving life. They love running around those bases. They love hitting the ball. They love being active. They want to be full of life all the time. Well, be happy. That's okay. Rejoice. It's good to be happy in life. Are you happy today? Can you enjoy the moment? Let me just tell you this. I noticed this. Rejoice is not an option. It's not just like rejoice if everything's going exactly the way you want it. This is a command from God. Rejoice while you are young. See, God is not some kind of a cosmic killjoy. He's not here to squash our fun. He's here to maximize the fun that we have in life. And every young people needs to know that God is invested in your joy. Do you hear that, boys and girls? You are to be happy today. He created you and the desires of your life so that you can have an abundant and full life. And if you're not doing that, then there's something terribly wrong. I feel for young people who sit in church with sad faces, as if this was a punishment, like you just got, you know, the worst punishment ever. Now you have to go to church with me. And so you sit here and you're happy. That I feel for you. Then again, there I know where they get that from. I see faces of adults who have that same look in their face. You know, enjoyment of life is a gift from God. I'm not talking about hedonism here. Just do whatever your heart's desire. That's even not what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying. He's saying, but life is a gift. Receive it as a gift and enjoy it as a gift. If you know God to be a good father who loves giving good gifts to his children, enjoy that. Show it. The sun's going to set on this time. Now is a time for joy. It's a command of God. I find it very interesting. I'll just throw this in there because it just came out of the blue in my scripture reading through Deuteronomy. Moses tells the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 28, it's about all the curses that will come upon you if you don't obey God. In this, he says, Moses tells the people that the curses of the covenant will pursue and overtake and destroy them. Why? Because they did not serve the Lord their God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Like all God's gifts, we are meant to enjoy with sheer delight all that God has lavished on us. Sin brings us under the condemnation of God, yes. But David Gibson in his book also says that when we are not grateful for the little things, it's only a very short step. When we're no longer grateful for anything, when we do not enjoy and savor and love and laugh and delight in little things, in the precious moments that we have, then we're heading toward a future of losing our delight. I don't know if you've lost your delight in living today. As you built your little castles, your tiny little fiefdoms that you reign over, are you filled with sour grapes? Are you nursing grudges? Are you full of self-pity and a growing grudge toward anyone and everything that doesn't do your bidding? I'm overstating this, but watch out, because sin is crouching like a tiger. This is what happened to Cain in the Garden of Eden. Very first sin, God said to Cain, you know, if you do what's right, Cain, it'll go well for you. If you don't, sin is going to overtake you. Watch out. Grumpiness is the fruit of an ungrateful heart. That's why God commands us, rejoice with God's help. Surrender your crown. Stop dictating the terms of your happiness. Practice joy every day. This is not just a feel-good thing. It's like looking and understanding. Why has God placed me on this earth? And as I live that out, What kind of things bring me joy? And live, lean into that more and more every day. Daily, practice joy. Secondly, I'm going to just call it recalibrate. I wanted to go with another R here. Recalibrate your heart. If you're by nature a grumpy person, okay, I advise you to start by repenting. Repenting of your grumpiness. There's no need for that. I was taken back. We went to a restaurant this week, and they have those cups there. And one of them says, this is for a grumpy old man. It's copy. And Sil looked at me. I knew what she was thinking at that moment. I need to repent of my grumpiness. I can be a very grumpy person. It's always the same. I do want to be the king of my own world, too. I want to dictate the terms of my happiness, but I need to repent. Another command is, how do we do that? Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes desire. But you do that, it's not just do whatever you want, whatever you feel like. That's not where I'm going with this here. But to give your life to Christ. Whatever you have in your life that is good, it's a crown that you wear, give it to Jesus Christ and stop trying to subject everyone to your desires. Instead, follow the ways of your heart under the lordship of God himself. Another command, also 11 verse 10, banish anxiety. Get that out of your heart. Get rid of any joy-sapping thing in your heart and life. We need to put into proper perspective what we are building. Things that bring temporary happiness, are they going to give you lasting happiness? Here is Proverbs on this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's going to be all right. When it's kind of ironic to me that on May 31, 1982, on this very same date, was the day that I came to the end of myself. And I have not lived life perfectly. I'm still a long work in progress. But I have found God to be faithful every step of the way. For me, it was learning more and more to get rid of what I think is good for me and to do what God wants me to do. So, recalibrate our hearts. Start getting rid of your grumpiness. That starts in your heart. Trust in the Lord. Finally, remember your Creator in the days that you are young. The teacher pictures here what will happen as we age. I'm not going to go into this whole section, but chapter 12 is just a description of old age. I saw a lot of heads going like this. I didn't really, but I could just imagine a lot of you are like, I know what that is. He's talking about, you know, the grasshopper, the legs don't work, the eyes don't work, the ears can't work anymore, we can't enjoy things we used to. It's coming. I feel that in my life. But I, by God's grace, cannot become grumpy by that. Old age will come. We will all come undone. We are coming undone. If you don't realize it, just ask somebody that hasn't seen you for 10 years, and they'll tell you, you know, like, wow, you're coming undone. They'll say it in nicer terms, but the teacher is taking us by the hand gently and saying, okay, how then ought we to live? A whole of life and the seasons of life that we're in, each one of us is in different seasons of life. They're all brought together. And the fact that nothing lasts forever, that we have very little control over the incoming tide, ought to give us hope. And that's where I want to end up on hope this morning. It's part of living to accept two things, dear friends. Number one, that we are time-bound. There's a reason for that, but we're not going to last forever. And secondly, God is not bound by time. He is eternal. What we do is temporary, but what God does is permanent. We are each of us building the project of me. We have an opportunity in this life to construct the building of our lives, but as we do so, we are not the architect of our life. We're not even the site manager. If we can grasp that truth and say, no, God is the one who's working on me. He's the one who's making me what I need to be. Then after that last bucket of sand that we added to our castle and the tide comes in and takes it all away, we're okay with that. Can you be okay with that? It's going to be okay. You know, that day that Jesus returns to call you home is going to be a day just like today, a day when you celebrate births, when you celebrate baptisms, graduations. You celebrate moments, gathering with your family afterwards. You celebrate those moments. And then God calls you home, and it won't be like, oh, but I have to leave that all behind. No, like that little girl. Now we can take the Father's hand. Jesus talks about wise building and foolish building. Matthew 7, Jesus said, blessed is the one who builds their house upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who builds their life on sand. How happy are those who build their castle with childlike trust and joy in God. When the sun sets and the tides take everything that you are building, you rejoice. There's no anxiety in your heart, no troubles weighing you down at that point in time. You just smile, put down your tools, take the hand of your Father, and go home with joy and delight in your heart. Amen. Thank you for these words, Lord, for the words that you speak to us, for the years that you have given to each one of us. Every day is a testimony to your boundless grace and mercy in our life. We rejoice in the joys of life, in the laughter of family, the friends, the beauty of nature, the moments of happiness that brighten our day. These experiences bring us a little tiny glimpse of heaven, a reminder that you desire for us to live fully and abundantly. Yet, Father, in our joy, help us not to forget the days of darkness. May we acknowledge that life under the sun is not just an endless string of bright moments, but includes both light and shadow. So as we journey through life, teach each one of us, from the youngest person in this room to the oldest, how more and more to hold dear the lessons that come from our struggles and our hardships. By your Spirit, remind us that days of darkness serve a purpose. Refine us, shape our character, and bring us closer to you. And when we encounter difficulties, may we remember these words of Ecclesiastes and find comfort in knowing that even in despair, nothing is in vain when it is laid in your hand. Help us to be patient when things don't go our way, and thankful that you are always in control. And when the last day is ended and you come to bring us home, help us to take your hand and with joy go home. This we pray in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and our offerings this morning. We have a wonderful opportunity.